We began the Ramban in Parshas Vayishlach. That's Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Yud Gimel. I'd like to continue in the analysis of the episode of Shimon Velevi, in which they killed the male members of Shechem, the Anshei Shechem, in response to the Mice of Tumas Dina at the hands of Shechem. The Ramban's first question on the Rambam, which we saw last time, is why wasn't Yaakov Kodem Vizoche in this mitzvah? According to the Rambam, that there's a mitzvah to kill the Anshei Shechem because they didn't judge Shechem. Why wasn't Yaakov himself Zoche in the mitzvah? That was the Ramban's first question. His second question was, would the city of Shechem be Chayev Misa for not judging Shechem? After all, the mitzvah of Hoshavas Dinim is not defined as an Azhara, and therefore doesn't come under the rule of Azhara Shalahem Zohi Misason, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. We would like to analyze this point of the Ramban and the objection against the Rambam. It's very possible that we could arrive at the same conclusion as the Ramban, that there's no Chiv Misa regarding the Anshei Shechem. The members of the city of Shechem were not guilty of any sort of capital crime as a result of the mitzvah of Dinim. But we can come to that same conclusion as the Ramban from a slightly different vantage point. We would suggest that the mitzvah of Hoshavas Dayanim under Dinim is not incumbent upon any particular individual. It's not a personal obligation, what we would call a chovas yachid. And therefore there's no individual who could be held responsible and therefore put to death for non-fulfillment of the command enjoining Bnei Noach to be Moshiv Dayanim, to set up courts. But rather the obligation of Hoshavas Dayanim, of setting up courts within the framework of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, is incumbent on the community. The community itself has to establish courts in each city, in each province. But therefore, we cannot say that the Anshei Shechem were Chayiv Misa for not setting up courts or not judging the individual sinner, because Hoshavas Dinim is, as we say, incumbent on the entire community, not on the individual. It could be possible that herein lies a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, whereas the Rambam sees in mitzvahs dinim, as far as punishing criminals, two different dimensions. One is hoshavas batei din, hoshavas dayanim, setting up courts. But second, there's a matter of a personal obligation, even outside the system of the courts, to put to death a sinner. Whereas the Ramban would identify dinim as not in any shape or form relating to someone who could put a sinner to death, that there's no personal obligation to put a sinner to death under dinim. There is just simply an obligation of Hoshavas Dayanim. Hoshavas Dayanim might be a mitzvah incumbent upon the klal, but you can't point your finger at any individual, you know, John or James, and say he's obligated to set up a court system and he's negligent in not having done so. The Ramban's third question is based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Lokach Shochad Neherag. That's an interesting opening line in the Yerushalmi. As far as Hatoyas Dinim, that I understand that if the non-Jewish judge perverts justice, then he has certainly violated a negative aspect of Dinim, a losaseh, and that would surely generate a capital punishment according to the Ramban. So the Yerushalmi is not a big chiddush, but the chiddush of the Yerushalmi is lokach shochad nerag. Because we know that the prohibition against taking bribes is not necessarily based on the assumption that justice will be perverted. Even if, lo yitzur, justice was meted out in the proper way, but nevertheless the judge had received a bribe, he, the judge, would still be guilty of the isa, the prohibition, in joining a judge from taking bribery. And the Ramban, quoting this Yerushalmi, seems to subscribe to this opinion that if a non-Jewish judge takes a bribe, then he's nerag. Which seems to indicate that within the Azhara system of Dinim, it's not just all those individual cases that reflect stealing and so forth, but it's also the specific way in which a judge has to go about judging the case. And this might have some sort of impact, halacha lemaisa, in terms of a Jew who's being tried, even if it's against his will, in front of a non-Jewish judge. Would he, the Jew, in order to save his own skin, be allowed to give a bribe to a non-Jewish judge? If the non-Jewish judge is guilty of a capital offense by taking this bribe, then the Jew, by offering the bribe and trying to cajole and convince the judge to accept the bribe, is in effect violating a lav of lifnei ivel lo sitein michshol. And here we get into the issues of lo sitein michshol with regard to a ben noach. How do we violate lo sitein, and when do we violate lo sitein, lifnei ivel lo sitein, when we, in a sense, corroborate or facilitate the violation on the part of a ben noach of one of his sheva mitzvos. But the Ramban, in quoting the Yerushalmi, is really interested in the Sefer of the Yerushalmi. And here the Yerushalmi sets up a comparison, or we'll call it a contrast, between Dinei Yisrael and Dinei ben noach. In the case of Dinei Yisrael, the Torah prohibits the judge from removing himself from judgment under the lav of lo saguru mipnei ish, which is a lav recorded at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin daf vav amud bey says, al tachnis dvarecha, don't remove or withdraw your words, the words of judgment that you could utter, mipnei ish, because of the fear that you have of an individual. So Jewish judges are commanded to judge. And what we call to recuse oneself from judgment, that's not accepted in Jewish law. However, the Yerushalmi contrasts Dinei ben Noach to Dinei Yisrael and writes, Aval b'dineim afal pi shata yodea shata sholei mimenu. Even if you know, as a judge, that you have every clarity of vision and every capability of judging properly and making sure, guaranteeing that justice is meted out, nevertheless, atarah shoy levrach mimenu. There's no absolute obligation upon you to judge. You can just simply remove yourself from judgment. And the Ramban adds his own insight into this Yerushalmi. He says, Nira mikan, it would seem from this Yerushalmi, shirashoy ha-goy lomer lebali adin, the guy who could serve as a judge has the right to tell any one of the litigants, whether it's the plaintiff or the defendant, any nizkak lochem. I'm not interested, and I'm not accepting upon myself the weight and the responsibility of judging you. I remove myself from judgment. Ki tosefes hi b'Yisrael lo saguru mifnei ish. The lav of lo saguru which prohibits a judge from removing himself from judgment simply because of fear, that was never incumbent, never imposed upon a Ben Noach. It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And the Ramban sees in that fundamental distinction regarding the love of Lo Saguru, the fact that B'nei Noach are alleviated from that love, the underlying distinction that the Yerushalmi is presenting between Dinei Yisrael and Dineihem. Meaning that in the case of Dinei Yisrael, because of Lo Saguru, the judge has to judge. Whereas a Ben Noach, who was never enjoined, they never included under the categorical negative commandment of Lo Saguru, he has the right to say at any particular point, I'm not interested in judging, he can remove himself from judgment. And the Ramban concludes this discussion by saying, V'kol shkein shelo yehareg, certainly a Ben Noach should not be condemned to die, kishelo yasa atzmo, katzin shoter moshe lishpotes adono. Here the Ramban is paraphrasing a pasuk in Tanakh. But the point being that, according to the Ramban, if a judge is allowed, a non-Jewish judge is allowed to remove himself from judgment, then how much more so can he not be held responsible, and certainly not in a capital crime, for not judging? So not going into judgment, even though the stage is set, and the judge has all the wherewithal to judge, that's not a violation for Ben Noach. And that's the Lashon HaYishalmi, Atah Rashai Livroach Mimenu. You could just pick yourself up and run away from the case. And how much more so that someone who could have made himself into a shoter and a katzin, you know, to a some sort of police force and to enforce the law and see to it that the violator is the perpetrator of the crime is brought to punished and put to death, that would surely not incur any sort of a chiv misa. But it would seem to us that one could certainly differentiate between two fundamentally different types of judgment, both of which are included under dinim. Number one is the case of a lawsuit involving two parties, the plaintiff and the defendant. Number two, an entirely different category, is the case of a criminal case when charges are brought by the prosecution against an individual citizen who's accused of violating one of the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He may have been doing something like eating Eiver Min HaChai. Now, even if we accept the argument of the Ramban based on this Yerushalmi that Rashoi HaGoy Lomar Levali Adin Eini Nizkak Lochem, namely that the non-Jewish judge or potential judge is within his privileges, within his rights to tell the parties in a lawsuit that he's not interested in judging them. And even if it's so, then in such a situation, which was our first category, namely a lawsuit involving two parties, the hand of the individual to judge or adjudicate between the respective claims and counterclaims of the plaintiff and the defendant, he has a right to recuse himself. He doesn't have to be forced. He cannot be forced to judge. That's as far as the first category of dinim. But the second category of dinim, which refers to a criminal case, for example, if a Ben Noach witnesses a crime, he's absolutely responsible, one could argue, even within the framework of the Yerushalmi, to bring the criminal to trial, to see to it that everything is done, anything that's necessary has to be done in order to mete out the punishment imposed upon this criminal by the legal system. He cannot recluse himself and say and declare, Eini nizkak lachem. You notice the word, the Ramban himself used the word lachem, because he's turning to the Balei Dinim, the Ramban, and the judge is saying, I'm not interested in judging. But in the second category, namely witnessing a crime, that generates an unconditional obligation, which is incumbent upon the roeh, the person who saw or witnessed the crime, to see to it that punishment of the crime is meted out. So therefore, in the case of the Anshei Shechem, if you accept the Rambam's view that the members of the city were all aware of this crime, and therefore they had to put Shechem to death, and they didn't do so, they are in violation of Dinim. I'll say, but let them just say, we're not interested in judging. No, you can't say you're not interested in judging. You can't. When the Machayev, when the source of the obligation to judge is two different litigants, and for whatever reason you're afraid to get involved, you have a right, if you're a non-Jew, because you're exempt from Lo Sagrum Neish, to simply remove yourself from judgment. Not so in the case of a criminal act. In the case of a criminal act, then imagine a situation which society, the way the Ramban would have it, would allow anyone to just simply remove himself. And so anyone means everyone. And then the criminals are never going to be put to trial, never going to be put to death. We must have a system of dinim that guarantees in an absolute form that criminals will be punished. Otherwise, the whole legal system falls apart. It's meaningless. And to guarantee that punishment will be meted out, we must obligate the witness slash judge to get involved, to see to it, and guarantee that the executioner does what he has to do, meaning that punishment is meting out to the criminal. So just to summarize, we're accepting the Ramban's premise in the Yerushalmi that Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish was said to Yisrael and doesn't operate in Dinei Bnei Noach. We also accept the fact that a guy has a right to turn, he has the privilege to turn to the Vali Adin, to the various litigants, and declare, Eini Nizkak Lochem, I'm not getting involved in this lawsuit, not to judge, etc. But nevertheless, that's not the case of the Anshei Shechem. That's a whole different category of Dinim, which is a criminal case, and that has to be brought to trial. No one has the right to say, I'm not interested in getting involved. Now, I'd like to point out something else here, based on the Ramban's next question. The Ramban asks, why, according to the Rambam, would it be necessary to work so hard and come up with an answer to the question, why the Anshei Shechem were guilty of a capital crime, and come up with the answer that they violated the command of Dinah because they didn't bring Shechem to judgment? Why can't he just answer that question very simply? If you're looking high and low for an excuse or an explanation, a justification to Shimon and Levi killing out Shechem, and what's the source, what's the basis of the chiyuv misa of the members of Shechem, then why didn't the Rambam just simply say that the Anshei Shechem, like all of the Shivas Ha'amamin, all the seven nations that occupied Canaan, the land of Canaan, Avru al Shara Veros Shebnei Chayav Olam, they all violated the whole baggage, the whole constellation of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noah. For example, Avodah Zarah, Gilui HaRais, there's so many psukim the Ramban quotes over and over again, and he concludes by saying, Osim Kol Toevas Hashem, these were individuals occupying, dwelling in the land of Canaan, who were guilty of all the major Toevos, all the major abominable acts and violations of the Sheva Mitzvahs. And the Pasuk yells and screams about them left, right, and center. So why does the Rambam feel compelled to come up with the fact that Shechem violated Gezel, and as a result of that, the Anshei Shechem saw, they knew, they didn't put him to death, they were guilty of non-compliance with judgment and dinim, and therefore Shimon and Levi were justified in taking their lives? Why didn't the Rambam just simply say, the psukim that talk about this over and over again, that the people who dwelled in Canaan, they had no right to Damim. They had no claim to life itself, because they were all guilty of basic cardinal sins and capital sins for which Shimon and Levi certainly were justified in, were exempt from any sort of murder or spilling of innocent blood. And the truth be told, the Ramban's argument, I don't know, it's hardly convincing, if you ask me. It sounds on the surface of it to be a very convincing argument, but when you think about it again, I mean, let's ask the following question. A Ben Noach is judged and condemned with a single witness and a single judge, Dayan Echad and Eid Echad. Okay, fine. Were there witnesses who saw each and every individual member of the city of Shechem committing these crimes of Avodah Zarah and Gibeah Raias? Did Shimon v'Levi sit as judges? Did they preside over the court? Did they receive testimony against any individual member of Shechem? The Ramban is expressing a far-reaching premise, very revolutionary, namely that the Bnei Noach can be condemned based on what? I mean, where are the witnesses? Where are the judges? Where's the trial? It seems that according to Ramban, everything depends upon Chazaka. Chazaka means a premise. In this case, we can assume that every individual member of Shechem, like every individual dweller in the land of Canaan, except for the Bnei Yaakov, for the Ovos and their descendants, was worshipping idols. Well, maybe that chazaka is a very well-founded chazaka, and the fact that idol worship was, idolatry was so well entrenched, so deeply entrenched from father to son in the non-Jewish culture of Canaan. But nevertheless, you know, when you're saying that you could put someone to death based on chazaka, without due course to trial, without actual testimony, that's a pella, that's something that has to be really taken under advisement. Now, I just want to make a side comment here. When we look at the life of Avraham Avinu, HaNefesh Asher Osu B'Choron, and the Rambam in his opening lines in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim describing Avraham Avinu and his reaching out to the Ahuv the Avodah Zarah, not destroying them, but rather trying to teach them and educate them, it's very odd that the Ramban would have created some sort of response on the part of Shimon v'Levi, at least, to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah as one which is so antithetical to that of Avraham. Instead of trying to educate them, Shimon and Levi are destroying them. And of course the Ramban would ask the following question. I mean, why wouldn't the Avos and the Bnei Yaakov be obligated to kill all the seven nations, assuming that every last soul in the Shiva Amamin was guilty of these major cardinal sins? But the Ramban certainly is assuming some sort of fundamental distinction between Dini Yisrael and Dini Yaakov. In Dini Yisrael, there must be Hagadas Eidus. You know, there has to be a formal process of testimony in front of a court. Many, many details, drishas for hakiris, many, many formal legal requirements and conditions that have to be met before we can culminate in some sort of gemar din, which is a verdict that has to be decided upon by this kind of court or that kind of court. Otherwise, lacking any of the above, there will not be a chiyuv misa to put any sort of accused criminal to death. This is all in contrast to Akum, where you don't need the process. You don't need the Eidus, the Haggadah, you don't need the Gemar Din. What you need is Yediyah, below Re'iyah, even if you didn't see, you didn't witness, but you know. And how do you get that knowledge? You gain that knowledge from a Chazakah. So once you have that knowledge, you have that Yediyah that the prohibition was violated, and therefore the Ben Noach is Chayv Misa, and that's sufficient to culminate in the application of the rule of Damam Chashuv Kemayim, to use the Ramban's language. And in a sefer that I have here called Sam Derech, he writes the following: the afsha hamitzvah hi la dunam al pi dayan echad mikomakom gam beli dayan hutar domam. I mean, I think that Reb Simcha Brody is touching and opening another aspect of the revolution here, the Ramban, in terms of understanding the process by which, or the circumventing the process by which we condemn a Ben Noach to a capital punishment, namely that there's a mitzvah to judge them with one judge, but you don't even need that one judge in order to get to arrive at the conclusion of Hutar Dama. So in essence, although the Rashiva doesn't point this out, there are two dimensions to the process of putting a criminal to death in the system of the non-Jewish court system. Number one is a due process of judiciary process of courts, and number two, this is an entirely different din called hutar damam, and a hutar damam can create some sort of a chiv misa in which the ben noach releases or gives up on his right, his privilege to life itself, simply because he's guilty of a crime that we know he's guilty of, although he hasn't been judged so by the judge. Now, all the rules that apply to judging capital offenses in the case of Bnei Noach reflect really one dimension of Dinei Yisrael, and that would be the area of what I call Issa V'Heter in Jewish law. In other words, for example, let's say you have the status of a piece of meat. You're not sure if it's chalev and therefore it's a chiv kares, or whether it's heter, it's that part of the animal which you're allowed to eat. So we know that in Jewish law, eid echad, one witness is enough. But for that matter, you don't even need one witness. If you have evidence, even if you'd have a chemical proof that would lead to yediyah, that you know whether it's kosher or not kosher, that's exactly how the halach would operate. And you would establish the status of that piece of meat, the isur heter, based on yediyah. So, what happens now? Let's say we know that this piece of meat is chalev, although we had no one testify, and certainly it was no court that presided over that decision and made that ultimate verdict and declared that this is a piece of chalev. We have reason to believe it's chalev, call it a chazaka, we have yediyah. Now, Chas Shalom, a Jew goes ahead and eats that piece of meat. So can a Jewish court simply prosecute him and condemn him to death based on the chazaka? Or condemn him to get malchus? You know, malchus is a corporeal punishment. So certainly it requires a full scaled judiciary process in which we will require two witnesses to testify that so-and-so, Plony Almoni, ate this piece of meat, which we know based on Chazaka is non-kosher, is chalev. And therefore we can give him malchus if he had a hasra and so forth and so on. This is a formal legal process of Hagodas Eidus with the Gemar Din. And then, and only then, can we punish the criminal with 39 lashes. Again, in the first stage of the process, when we determine the status of the piece of meat, we didn't need Eidus at all. It's all a question of establishing, based on evidence, what the nature of the identity of this object is. So you can do that based on Eid Echad, but when you want to punish a person physically, because he violated an Avera, for example, he went ahead and he ate that chalev, then we need to aid him, and the entire gamut, the entire process with all its details of the judiciary, of the Jewish court system. Shimon Velevi, according to the Ramban's premise, could kill the citizens of Shechem without going through this entire process of Hagodas Eidus and Gemar Din in a court and so forth. In other words, not only does the halacha in Dini Yisrael that governs Iser V'Heter in terms of deciding whether something is kosher, is edible or not kosher, does that apply to a Ben Noach? But even the next stage, we're talking about physical punishment, in this case, capital punishment, that, according to the Ramban, can be meted out once we know that the Ben Noach has violated the mitzvah of one of the Sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So that, getting back to the case of Shechem, insofar as Shechem is representative of all of Canaan, of all the seven nations that dwelled in Canaan, we know that every single individual member of the city of Shechem was guilty of, say, Avodah Zarah or Gilui Arayos, and therefore we can put him to death. Under the law of Chazaka, under Yediyah, without Hagodas Eidus. Again, the Sefer Sam Derech assumes that there may be a mitzvah, even according to Ramban, of accepting the aid and judging with one judge, but that's not necessary. However, we should make one, I think, one proviso here, and, you know, reduce to some extent, limit the Chiddush, the revolution of the Ramban and his understanding of Bnei Noach in one important way. We must distinguish between a known criminal, we'll call him a Rasha Yadua, he's completely entrenched in sinful patterns, he's a habitual sinner, he's the typical Knanite who's guilty of all the Toevos, and then a second category is a Ben Noach who's not a habitual, well-known criminal, but rather he's accused right now of having perpetrated a particular criminal act on a particular occasion. In this latter category, the sinner could not be assumed guilty until we go through due process. Here we would not apply the principle of hutar damo, that we can take his life, without first eid echad, v'dayan echad, and a gemar din. So that far the Ramban wouldn't go. I mean, let's just limit and circumscribe the chiddush of the Ramban. You know, to what extent is chazaka and yediyah enough to put a criminal in the Ben Noach system to death, to the extent to which he's a Rasha Yadua? But if we're talking about someone who has sinned on one occasion, and he has no track record, and we have to just see and determine whether he's guilty or not, that would certainly require some sort of process of judgment, even according to the Ramban. Now the Ramban continues and asks another question on the Rambam, and he says the following: Ella she'ein hadavar masur liYaakov ubanav lasos bohem hadin. Meaning, if the Rambam is indeed searching for the sin of Anshei Shechem to justify the actions taken by Shimon the Levi, certainly there's no obligation or responsibility incumbent upon the Shivtei Kor, our forefathers, or for that matter, Shem V'Yever, to run around destroying the entire world, which is made up of Ovdei Avodah Zorah and Megali Arayos. And the Ramban adds the phrase, Mipnei She'ein Hadavar Masur Lahem. Ein Hadavar Masur Lahem. Meaning, the Ramban is raising, I call it a rhetorical question on the Rambam. Do the Avos and their children have to become judges? Is it their responsibility to mete out punishment to the masses of the Bnei Noach that occupy Eretz Knaan? Now, even if I grant you, Rabbeinu Moshe, Ben Maimon, that you have come up with the sin of Anshei Shechem, and you've identified it the way you did, or even the way I did, says the Ramban. Nevertheless, that doesn't impose any sort of obligation, that doesn't generate any sort of responsibility that's incumbent upon the Bnei Yaakov Avinu to put these sinners to death. I mean, it would be ridiculous to say that it's a chiyuv doraisa, a mitzvah doraisa, within the context of the Avos and the Shivtei Kor to go around and destroy the entire Shiva Amamin. At some point in time there will be such a mitzvah, and there will be a mitzvah melchama to conquer Eretz Yisrael, but not b'toras dinim. This we never found. However, I would like to make one comment here that I think is significant. If you read the Rambam carefully, nowhere does the Rambam say that the Bnei Yaakov were obligated to become judges, or that they were required to implement the death penalty and put the Anshei Shechem to death. You won't find that anywhere, I believe, in the Rambam's language. All the Rambam says is that there was an obligation to have the Anshei Shechem put to death, and the question is, who has to put him to death? So insofar as the Avos and their descendants are classified as Bnei Yisrael, a separate nation, independent, governed by their own legal system, i.e. the Torah law, they're not obligated to become judges vis-a-vis the nations of the world. Even the Rambam, I think, would agree to that. There's no proof to the text to the contrary, from the text to the contrary. So if we're correct, if we're assuming and reading the Rambam in the right way, then we still have to answer the question, according to the Rambam, what motivated or what obligated the Bnei Yaakov to kill out the Anshei Shechem. But let's take a look at the Ramban's answer to this very same question. And this is the paragraph that begins with the words, Aval Inyon Shechem. And the Ramban says, Ki bnei Yaakov bavur shayu anshei Shechem rishoyim v'domim chashlon kimayim rotsu li nokeh mehem b'cherev nokemes. So the Ramban puts his finger down on one concept, on one word, and that's nekama. Nekama apparently is a very good thing in its proper context. The Ramban is not in any way implying a critique against the Anshei, the Bnei Yaakov, for being interested in taking revenge against the Anshei Shechem. That was certainly justified on their part, but rather the objection of Yaakov Avin to their actions comes under different explanations and categories, as the Ramban continues later. Let's just read one more important line in the Ramban. V'hargu ha-melech v'chol anshei iro ki avodav heim v'sarim el mishma'ato. The Ramban here, I think, is touching on a very important point, and he's claiming that in the shikul, in the thought process, the decision-making process of Shimon v'Levi to take revenge against the city of Shechem for what they did either actively against Dina or passively, was directed not just at Shechem himself as the leader, but also to the Anshei Iro, because they were avodav. Meaning, there's a certain guilt process by contagion that extends to the avodim, in this case to the citizens, the rank and file citizens of Shechem, of the city of Shechem, because they listen to the mishmas of the melech, and they really are following his lead, and they're accepting whatever his ruling is, and certainly his behavior pattern. If he is able to perpetrate such a tumah, such a crime, a rape against Dina, then everyone in that city is part and parcel of that crime, and the revenge has to be meted out against the entire city. Yaakov Avinu has a different problem with this, a number of different problems, as we'll see as we continue in the Ramban. But there's one important point over here that I think the Ramban, by mentioning the Avodim, classifying, describing the Anshei Shechem as Avodim of the Melech, I think the Ramban is in effect answering a question here that was asked many, many centuries after the Ramban, and I'm a big fan of Rabbi Simcha Mitvinsky and his Meshech Chochma, but he raises a question here against the Ramban, which I think is no question. He says that there's a clear proof from this parasha, from this episode of the Bnei Yaakov, for the Rambam against the Ramban. Because the Anshei, the Bnei Yaakov, that means Shimon Levi, only put the male members of the city to death and not the females. And this is a problem, says the Meshech Chochma, certainly for the Ramban. I mean, according to the Rambam, the Anshei Shechem were guilty for not judging Shechem, and only a male could be a judge. The Rambam says explicitly here, at the end of the ninth parak of Hilchos Malachim, that a female cannot be judged. Cannot judge. But if you go with the Ramban's opinion that this is revenge, then, I'm sorry, let me backtrack. I'm sorry, I got a little confused here. If you go with the Ramban's opinion that the Anshei Shechem hutar damam, that they were killable, to use that word, they, you know, there would be no violation to destroy them, because as the Ramban would have it, they as well as all the other members of the city, of all the cities of Canaan, were guilty of Gilui Arayis and Shpichas Damim. So then, if that's the logic, so the Meshech Chochma claims that the women folk would likewise be guilty, and basically the rule that should apply is that any Isha Yodas Mishkevei Ish, as we see in other parashiyos, should be put to get to death. Hari b'chol makom shenergu hazayin amim nergu gam hanoshim hayodos mishkav zocher. And therefore, the fear Ramban shenergu mishum chet zayin amimin hoyitzichim laro gam es hanoshim. Yeah, but keep in mind that this is not really a question on the Ramban. The Ramban is never saying that the reason why and the motivation to kill the Anshei Shem on behalf of Shimon Velevi was in order to fulfill the law of Harigas Zayin Amim Mishum Shechotu because of the Toevos. I mean, the Ramban only uses those Toevos to explain why the Anshei Shechem was Hutar Damam, that they had no privilege to live. They were guilty of capital punishment. But that's not the reason that motivated Shimon Velevi taking the action and putting the Anshei Shechem to death. That was motivated rather by the Nekama, the will to, the desire for revenge. Now, since presumably the Avadim, and not the Shvachos, we'll say it that way, meaning the male members of and the rank and file citizens that surrounded the Melech Shechem were guilty of perpetrating this crime against Dina, to the extent to which they shared in that guilt, to that extent they were to be put to death because of this desire to take Nekama revenge. But the women folk had their own issues. They weren't tzidkanios. As we said before, as far as Harigas Zayin Am Mishum Chetam, there was an obligation to destroy even the women who were Yodos Mishkav Zachar, but that doesn't play into this particular case. Again, the Ramban insists that it wasn't Mishum Chet in general, you know, because of their sins of Gilui Arayos, that these actions were taken and these individuals were put to death, but rather because of revenge. That revenge was to be meted out against the male members of the city and not the female members of the city. So I think the Ramban is adding an important point here, and he's avoiding the slings and arrows of the Meshech Chochma and his question. We'll stop here.